Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read, sometimes fantasy. And there's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish a book, I do the review. And sometimes I don't finish the book, but anyway, I put it up here on the podcast feed for everyone to download and listen to. Hopefully enjoy. Joining me today, like normal, is Juliana.
Hello, everyone.
You're back again. Last episode,
yes.
I just recorded by myself.
Yes.
You don't need to join in on a disappointing Alistair Reynolds review. But no matter how bad Alistair Reynolds books are, generally I get to the end of them.
Yes. Okay.
So I don't have to mark them as did not finish.
Yeah.
On the last episode that we did together, the previous one, on Slow Gods, which was on, let's have a quick look here. It was on the 8th of March. We talked about how we were looking at the graph of different star ratings. Of different books.
Yes,
and I was saying, here's lots of 5 stars, more 4 stars than fewer 3 stars. Oh, Goodreads. Oh, we're talking about Goodreads.com now.
Yeah.
And we had a whole discussion, probably a 5-minute discussion, about how that graph only brings in the ratings, you know, like the shape of the graph, like how many people rated it. Generally only bring in people who finish the book and decide, I read enough of it, I'm going to give it a rating.
Yes.
But probably there's lots of people who didn't give it a rating because they didn't finish the book and they just put it on the did not finish list.
Yes, but that is not reflected.
That is not reflected in the ratings. And I was saying it's a real pity that Goodreads doesn't have a feature where you could mark something officially as did not finish. You can also give it a rating or not give it a rating, but it would be really good to see how many people... you know, put the book on there. There's the to read shelf. There's the currently reading shelf. There's the read shelf. In other words, I have finished the book.
Yeah.
But now we wanted like another like official way of declaring your intentions about the book.
Because unofficially, you can also already, you could already like put
any
the
tags
kind
you
of
want.
Shelvings and genres and tags and whatever you want. And so you have.
Yeah,
you
I didn't finish. Anyway, just to get onto this.
Yeah.
So we had that discussion on the 8th of March. 2026.
Yes.
On the 13th of March 2026, literally less than a week later, 5 days later, Goodreads posted new top requested reader feature, did not finish shelf. Sorry, a did not finish shelf.
Okay. An official one.
An official did not. So we're launching a new feature based on years of reader feedback. The did not finish shelf is rolling out over the coming weeks. This has been one of our most requested features. So it's not just us on that one podcast.
Obviously.
By making this a default shelf option, we're responding to consistent customer feedback while giving readers better tools to manage their reading lives. And so, it's one of the top 4 things. So now there's want to read, currently reading, read, and did not finish.
Woohoo.
And you can do this. So what I did once this feature came out is I went back through. I had my own shelf called Didn't Finish.
Yeah.
Lots of people have their own custom shelves because you can use any string. You can use any little label or whatever you want. So I had one called Didn't Finish. And so I then moved all of there was 55 books. In fact, I could probably bring it up here. Do I have one here? Anyway, I had a... I have a shelf somewhere on one of these pages here, which is my didn't finish list. I guess I don't actually have it open, but I could have opened it here. I guess I could here. So can I look on did not finish? Either way. Little did I know that I would move 50 books over onto this other onto the shelf.
So you moved books. So you moved books upon... didn't finish Luke's own shelf to did not finish
yes, Goodreads the official one. Shelf. And then I could delete the other one. But then also I realized, there's actually a second case, which is this time through, I read it before all the way through to the end.
Yes.
So it should be on my default read shelf. So it is something I have read, but also it definitely needs to be didn't finish the second time through. So I still have one of those. It's a read more than, I have a read more than one shelf, but then I also have a did not finish second time through, which actually happened to a book recently. Let me have a look. Now on the episode list, which was David Brin, Star Tide Rising. I gave it 2 stars, but only because based on what I've already I read this before, it wasn't the book that I wanted, it wasn't as good as I remember it, I'm not going to get through to the end of it. Not because it's a terrible book that I don't think it should be read, or I mean, I only gave it 2 stars, so it's not a great book, you know, it's not like I'm recommending people read it,
yes,
but also that's it. So Thank you very much, Goodreads.
But in the past, you have finished it.
Yes.
And the second time around, you just
and
said...
And so now I have a shelf. What do I do? Oh, no, I guess I just click on my books. And then I can actually... Then now, because this is now an official list, it's a lot easier to do. So I can click on did not finish. And I can see the books that I didn't finish. And I can list them as ratings here of... Average ratings of Goodreads readers.
Yeah.
And so there is Six of Crows, which is a fantasy series, start of a second fantasy series, which I didn't get into because you're starting it. It's like the same author is writing a second fantasy series in an existing fantasy world.
Right.
So you start reading it and you're like, oh, a lot of stuff isn't being explained here. It's sort of like it's assumed that we know some fantasy stuff that already exists. You
okay.
know? Another fantasy book, Hellspark. Harrow the Ninth, another fantasy book, you know. And then I get down to this book, which we're going to talk about today, which is also, I didn't realize I was going to have to use the did not finish shelf quite so soon. I wasn't even sure. I read so little of this book, I wasn't even sure if I wanted to do a review of it. But let's call this a science fiction book review podcast short.
All right.
And but just to wrap up the did not finish discussion with Goodreads.
Yeah.
Now that feature is there on Goodreads and I have like an official did not finish shelf, I'm thinking maybe I want to bring this functionality into the SFBRP ratings, or not ratings, but like into like... Whenever I'm doing a podcast, I have this Python script that I wrote 16 years ago or something, which is I just enter in the title of the book, the author's name, the series, the rating, the Goodreads link.
Displayed on the table on the website.
Yeah, and
on the
that's
website.
The thing, that's the thing yeah. that writes the blog post, creates the links, creates the titles,
yeah.
creates the I was going to say Twitter post, but, you know, Mastodon or yeah. Blue Sky post. Like yeah. all of that's generated automatically.
Yeah.
And I haven't really touched, I mean, I added comments, I added dates and date time to do it. There was videos because I thought this would be a video podcast
yeah.
years and years ago.
Yes.
And so I could put the link to the YouTube video of the podcast there as well.
Yeah.
That's not a lot there. I've got some extra notes, some yeah. different fields that are there
yeah.
in this, I was going to say in a database. It's not a database. It's a just a, you know, CSV file, comma separated value file. But I've not added to it recently, but I think this would be a good thing to add to it, a
yeah.
little DNF or
how
did
do you,
not finish.
How do you display that currently? Where do
well,
you,
no, I don't.
How,
I don't.
Okay.
If you look here on the episode list, I just yeah. give ratings,
yeah.
but it doesn't show did Luke finish the book, except I guess if you click on it and there's some books which I didn't finish and I didn't rate because it didn't feel good. I didn't feel good about giving a rating to a
yeah.
book I didn't finish.
Yeah.
So
and then it says no rating, or is it just no rating visible?
Well, no, some of the books like Moby Dick, I don't want the rating of my enjoyment of Moby Dick to put Moby Dick in among lots of other science fiction, or not other, but among science fiction and fantasy books.
Yeah.
Or like The Odyssey, or what's that? That's like an adventure zone. It's like a podcast that, you know, that I listen to, you know, and talking about these kind of things. But yeah, there are some books which they just don't have ratings, you know, Blackout and All Clear. I read that because of the Hugula, you know, the
yeah.
Hugo Nebula Award thing. And
yeah.
it doesn't have a did not finish. It just doesn't have a rating. So
yeah.
I think this will come in handy for books which I didn't finish.
Yeah.
And it can just be maybe another column in the table, or maybe a little, it can have a little star next to it, which can have like a little asterisk, or sort of like a star rating and I didn't finish, or no rating and I didn't finish,
yes.
or whatever like that.
Okay.
So I think I could bring it in there. And because I've got this list of books, which I already know I didn't finish because I put them in Goodreads,
yeah.
I could probably add that quite easily just to the list.
Yeah.
You know what
okay.
I mean? I could just go through. I've
yeah.
only got... What, coming up to 600 episodes? So
yeah.
if I didn't finish 50 books, that won't be too difficult to find
yeah.
in there as well.
Okay.
So
that's
that functionality coming soon.
A fun little side project here.
There you go. 10 minutes on that. Now let's do 10 minutes on the book that I didn't finish.
Okay.
Because I didn't want this to just be on the start of a random episode. So this can be like a test case
yeah.
of a book that I didn't finish, which I wasn't sure I was going to talk about, but I thought it would. So I was going to go on a cruise ship.
Mm-hmm.
And I was meant to be starting in, where was I flying to? The Maldives.
Yes.
So I was meant to fly to the Maldives.
Yeah.
And the ship was sailing from the Maldives to Oman and then to Dubai and then back round to a port called Salalah or whatever it is in Oman. And there I would leave the ship. 10
yeah.
days on a cruise ship,
mm-hmm.
sailing around the Indian Ocean up to, you know, Gulf of Aden and that kind of stuff. So I was offered this gig. I was like, yeah, might as well take it.
Yeah.
And then... I signed the contract and sent it off on the Sunday. And then later on the Sunday, I was like checking the news. Oh, you know, like news filters through and you're like, oh, what's that? And then literally the same day I signed a contract to sail around Oman through the not the Gulf of Aden. What is it? The Straits of Hormuz.
Yeah.
And back out again. Mm-hmm. It was not happening. You know, it suddenly wasn't happening. The cruise that I was going on was also crazy because it didn't want to sail through the Gulf of Aden, which is, you know, when you go past Somalia and Yemen and through that bit and up into the Red Sea. So what they were doing on this world cruise, they were sailing all the way to Oman. Yeah. In Salalah.
Yes.
And then they were getting everybody off the ship.
Yeah.
And they chartered flights to take everyone, all the passengers on the ship, would fly them over to Jeddah in Saudi Arabia on the Red Sea.
Yeah.
And then they would sail the ship through the Gulf of Aden, up the Red
Sea, without passengers on,
keeping them all safe. And they'd pick them all up after them staying for 4 nights in a hotel in Jeddah.
Yes.
And then sail up in that direction.
Okay. Yes.
And that was already the plan for this cruise that I was going on.
That was already the changed itinerary.
Yeah, it was already a changed itinerary.
They changed the itinerary in November 2025.
Well, yeah, because this cruise is 185 days long.
It's
or whatever.
Long.
So anyway, it already changed. And I went down and joined the ship in La Réunion and sailed to Madagascar and then left in Durban in South Africa and flew home again. Only in the end, I wasn't on the ship for 10 days. I was only on for 5 days.
Yes.
But there I was heading out to the Indian Ocean to a cruise, which was in the end messed up because of war, but also mostly it was being messed up because of pirates.
Yeah. And First you pirate things, then war and things.
This is not the first time it's happened to me. A previous time when I ended up in Zanzibar, I was meant to be flying to Mauritius, which is the island next to La Reunion. There's like two like islands down there. There was a typhoon, Indian Ocean typhoon, couldn't go there. Was meant to fly to Madagascar, but this was like in 2009, and like a few days beforehand, some radio DJ had taken over the government somehow, you know, like a coup and uprising, popular uprising there, and that didn't happen. And then we were meant to be sailing up this other way, but then pirates meant that that couldn't happen. So we were like sailing around in circles in Zanzibar for a few days. So this has happened to me before.
Crazy
it's
stuff.
Not. I've sailed through the Gulf of Aden up to the Red Sea, and been on ships which are under pirate lockdown, like pirate warning lockdown, and it is not fun.
No,
it is not
I totally
fun
understand
at all.
That.
It is weird because
they get extra security people with weapons on board.
There's people
and
coming
stuff.
Aboard. Yeah. There's drills on board that everybody has to come to the center of the ship, not be in any view of any windows. You know, like in the center of the ship is the safest place.
Yeah.
Security guards around, armed security guards, machine gun emplacements.
Yeah.
They turn all the lights off on the ship so it can't be seen.
Yeah.
They turn off the satellite tracking. They turn off, you know, radar stuff. You when you look on the thing like, oh, where is the cruise? No, it just disappears from cruise mapper, disappears from everything. And you just sail for 4 days under this lockdown. It's like, this is not a fun part of a holiday. But again, I'm doing it as a job, but people are being, you know, paid to be there.
Yeah.
And that's why now so few of the cruise ships actually go around there. Loads more cruise ships are now, when they do around the world cruise or repositioning, they're all going around South Africa now.
Yeah.
And this cruise ship was like, we'll be able to get through the Gulf of Aden and the Red Sea, but we'll get off all the, we'll get the passengers. And then they're like, nah, we're not even trying this.
No.
Either way, so I went on to, I was going to get a new book. I was like, I'm going to go on a cruise to a pirate affected cruise to the Indian Ocean. And in the end, it was rescheduled, so we didn't even go to that part.
Again,
it was
completely even more rescheduled.
But so I went to my Goodreads page, not the did not finish page. I have this one want to read, and there's 80 books on my want to read page here.
It's always a good source of inspiration.
Yeah, so then I sort it by average rating. And of course, the top ones are like, you know, long-running fantasy stories and stuff like that. Adrian Tchaikovsky's up there. One that's called The Wrecking Squad. I don't really know about that. I had it like a year ago. Another Adrian Tchaikovsky. And then right there at the top of this book, at the top of this, what is it? The list of books on my to read shelf.
Yeah.
Ordered by highest rating and then not just reading another Adrian Tchaikovsky book straight away.
Yeah.
The Adventures of Amina al-Sarifa. Or Sirafi. Sorry, let's say it again. The Adventures of Amina al-Sirafi.
Yes.
And 4.24 stars here. And it's by Shannon Chakraborty or S.A. Chakraborty. Oh, same person, I guess.
Yeah.
So and that's it. And it goes. And this is how it starts off. The best-selling author of City of Brass spins a new trilogy of magic and mayhem on the high seas in this tale of pirates and sorcerers, something, something, something like that. Amina al-Sarafi should be content after a storied and scandalous career as one of the Indian Ocean's most notorious pirates. And I was like, oh, this is life thematic yes. relevant. So it I was like, fits. This is it. It's a
Bring
signal
the
from the gods. The highest rating book, which isn't by Adrian Tchaikovsky,
yeah.
which is recommended to me now, like has come to the top of my Goodreads to read list, highest rating ranking list, mm-hmm. is about pirates in the Indian Ocean.
Yeah.
And I was like, sign me up. Here we go. And even if you look down here, the settings is Aden in Yemen, Salalah, Oman, Mogadishu in Somalia, Socotra, Yemen, Middle East, Yemen, Somalia, Oman. You know, just it's in that
exactly
place that I was
place.
Meant to be going.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this will be fun. Pirate adventure, Indian Ocean. Let's see. I was meant to be going to the places where this book is happening, something, something.
And
Let's
you've
go.
Been to these places before. I mean,
yeah.
Apart from not sailing along, but on the ship, you've been to Salalah.
Yeah, okay.
And all these
so I haven't
places.
haven't mentioned the time frame of this book. Like, you know, when is this book set?
Yeah.
Okay. So here we go. This is the well. Actually, no. How do I even say this? Because I don't want to give away this point. Okay. So here's the language that they're in. They're talking about the sexuality of different characters, like in the book. They're talking about, oh, politicians this. Oh, we can't trust the politicians, mm-hmm. okay? So, and then there's a child character. She's like, 16 is so young, like a girl. And you're like, okay, 16 in this world is young. And then we're sort of like, they're talking about like having, you know, money. So like, what's money for if you don't use it for this? Money this as well. And then they're like, a kid comes down and they're like, hey kid, get away, go back upstairs. And I was like, all right, children's bedrooms are upstairs, okay. And then they're like, oh, well, if you want to be financially stable, we should take this deal if you want to be financially stable. And I was like, all right, financially stable. And then someone said, oh, but I'm not, I'm retired now. And I'm like, okay, so retirement is... So someone wants to be financially stable after they're retired and stuff. And then they start talking about, you know, like slaves or something. Oh, there was some atrocities. And I was like, all right. Then they meet up with someone who is like, you know, they're going to do some heist kind of thing. Oh, you know, they got to get the team back together.
Yeah.
And they're like, so what do you do? Oh, yes, I have pharmaceutical training. You're like, okay, so pharmaceuticals is a thing in this world that someone can have pharmaceutical training. They're actually like a poisoner. You know, like when you get together the squad for a heist kind of thing, mm-hmm. you have to have someone who, you know, has the something in the vial that can go like that. Or you can poison them, you can use the sleep serum, you can yeah. send these people to sleep. And, yeah. stuff like that. And then they're like, oh, well, let's head into the city. Let's go take the temperature of the city. And I'm like, take the temperature of a city?
Like the atmosphere?
Yeah,
like,
but do you know the expression, take the temperature of the city?
Yeah,
it means sort of like, you know, what's the vibe down there?
Yeah, what's the vibe? Yeah, like yeah, yeah. the atmosphere, yeah.
Vibe. And then they're like, oh, right, let's talk to these... Oh, and some policemen turned up. So I was like, oh, so we're in a world where policemen exist. And they're like, oh, the cops are like this, you know, and they're talking about the cops. And I was like, all right, this book is utterly insane. Because this book is set in like the year 1150 or 1250. Like we're talking about the same
time.
Yeah, we're talking about this book is set just like 50 years or 20 years after the Crusades, you know, after the Christians come in and, you know, take over Jerusalem or whatever it is.
Okay, but it's our world.
It's a fantasy world set in our world. Like, so it's like this, you know, it's sort of like a version of our past, but
right.
with extra fantasy stuff. Like there's a demon and okay. there's a wizard.
And they are sailing on sailing boats.
I don't know.
Ah.
Because the world building in this book is so full of anachronisms. Like it's so anachronistic. Like what do you, you know, like things which are being mentioned, which shouldn't be mentioned in this time frame. Like, you know, the sexuality of a car. So like 16 is really young. I was like in 11... In the year, like, 1200 or whatever, whenever this mm-hmm. is set. If we're set in the year 1200, 16 is not very young. Mm-mm. 16 is marriage age and should be having babies already age. Mm. You know, any year past 16 that you are. And they're like, she's 16, oh, she's such a child. And then they start talking about slavery and like, well, slavery is really bad. And we know that, like, we went to the slave the slave market in Zanzibar.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the numbers are incredible, like the slave trade that mm-hmm. went from like East Africa,
yeah.
you know, Zanzibar, yeah. all that, you know, that whole area there, all going through there. The slave trade was like more slaves went up to like the Middle East, you know, went up to that, you know, that Arabia and the whole area was way more slaves went there than across the Atlantic. Like the slave trade was the reason why ships were going up and down there at that time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There was a huge industry.
It is the main interesting. And it's just talking like this pirate whose probably main job was like everyone on the ship was like in, again, this is just me off the top of my head. The way that I would imagine it is everybody on the ship, except for maybe four people, are slaves. Okay. You know, on a pirate ship.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not true, but it kind of feels to me that like it would have to be explained why most of the people on a pirate ship are not slaves.
Yeah.
That you can just assume that slavery is bad. Like a character whose like entire life seems to, it should have been based on slave trade. Maybe, but again, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because the notes in this book, it comes with like, the audiobook came with like this PDF, which is sort of like laying out, oh, I tried to do this research, and I did this other research about like life in that time. And I was like, this isn't like, the whole book might as well be, this is a time travel book where some people who were once very online and very well connected, literally, it honestly reads like someone who's like, oh, I am an author, I'm a female, I'm a, let me put this, I am a Tor Wave Squeecore author from the year 2024, has been sent back in time to this place, but not just me, but everybody who I also interact with, like, everybody, every sentence that came out of any character's mouth, any assumption about the world, which wasn't explicitly stated about anything, just assumes that everybody there has the attitudes, the words, the knowledge, and also like the geography of the town, the layout of the, like, if, I would think of, yeah, wouldn't they live in tents? Wouldn't live in tents, but they live in a building, but like the kid's bedroom is upstairs. Like, why would a child even have a bedroom, and why would it be upstairs? You know, It's insane. It honestly feels like a time travel novel where everybody in the book has gone back in time and is just existing in this world.
Mm.
Because there isn't a single thing that happened in the first four chapters in this book which didn't assume that you, the reader, was an American living in 2024 who has exactly the same outlook, uses the same terms. So let's go test the temperature of the city. I'm like, in the year 1200, did the concept of a city exist in, you know, that place? Yes, a bigger city. But did the concept of temperature exist? Did the concept of money, as in I need more money, would you say money as an abstract term for gold or shekels or dinar or rupees, or like, what would there be a unique word for money which wasn't like, you know, like in German you could say Geld, you know, which is like guilders, it all comes from gold pieces, you know, like that kind of, pounds come from literal pounds of gold or pounds
like
of metal, it's like a weight of a thing.
Yeah.
Money, financially stable, you know, I'm retired.
Like financially
pharmaceutical
stable.
Training.
What the hell?
Taking the temperature. I don't like politicians. These are cops. I'm like, cops, as in coppers. If you call them cops, you're drawing a direct link back to policing in London in 1850 or whenever.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to look it up. It's not worth me looking up. Like, when were the first policemen
called coppers?
No.
Cops.
Policemen.
Yeah,
policemen.
Yeah.
No, they would be like, and this is the thing, in
every
other fancy story or every other medievalish kind of story,
There are guards.
They're guards. There's bodyguards. There's army sergeants. There's, you know,
soldiers.
Statlos or whatever the term is. They just
knights.
Come up with a term. There's knights. All of these things, but policemen who are colloquially, whatever that word is, called cops.
Yes,
I'm
that's
like,
true.
I don't even know. Like, I did, like, this book was so dumbfoundingly confounding to me.
Yeah.
Like, how can anybody read this and have any sense of anything that might be possible or even what the world is like here?
The actually about the policemen and stuff, Yeah. I read quite a few historical crime story kind of books. And it started off with people being employed by the City of London and they worked in Scotland Yard. That was actually the kind of first kind of place where there was a central...
An employed detective, employed police.
People who looked at crime things.
Yeah.
But they were hated by the people.
Yeah, yeah. And so either way, but again, like I say, I didn't even bother looking it up because other terms...
Cops.
Like atrocities, financially stable. And this is just in the first like two chapters. There was some more before that, but I started making notes of these.
And the concept of retirement.
I know. It's so like the disconnect between the story that they wanted. And also, I soon realized that this is not the first book in a series, but like these other ones that I did not finish. It's sort of like, oh, there's a whole three novels worth of a previous thing about the world building. And then it kind of dropped things in. So it kind of seemed like, oh, yeah, there would be spells. And obviously the mother of the child is probably going to be a demon or some spirit or something like that. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, and my daughter hasn't become transparent yet. She's not started walking through walls or breathing fire. And I'm like, okay, so the father is a demon or whatever it's going to be. And it was like the writing, apart from all the anachronisms, was utter garbage, super formulaic. And I was like, oh, I'm out, you know. And it's a bit of a pity because I thought I was going to have a fun pirate adventure around the Indian Ocean while I was sailing around the Indian Ocean on a pirate adventure kind of thing. And again, this is, and I'm going to put aside all of the assumed morality and worldview and outlook. I'm going to put all of that aside because just by the writing of what is assumed by the people who are like, all cops are bad. Like it might as well have been an all cops are bad slogan written on something here.
Yeah.
Politicians are like everything that comes with the American like show. When we were talking about this before, when we were I listened back to the review that we did of Project Hail Mary because we had the same conversation again, which is like, wait, what is Hail Mary? It's like, no, that was written from the point of view of somebody who assumes that all of the politics, all of their own American politics are the true politics to the point where they don't have to describe what the rest of the world is like, you know, sort of like, oh, yes, he did some, you know, this person went over to defraud some countries in Africa or like African countries. And this is just happening in generic Africa. But all the American references assume that everybody around the world knows. And then all of the stuff which isn't American is sort of like racist stereotypes, just complete lack of any thought into that literally anybody in the world could have a different mindset or different politics or different morals or just different way of any how the brain works, culture works, anything at all.
Nothing else is legitimate.
Nothing else is legitimate, but these American authors haven't even considered that they are writing from a different point of view.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, of course, I then looked down here and I thought, well, who else didn't like this book? And I clicked on some of these other one-star and two-star reviews. This is of The Adventures of Amina al-Sarafi. And they're like, why is a Muslim woman back then like... You know, it's like lots of Muslim people going, who the hell wrote this thing where like suddenly gay people are being accepted and trans people are being accepted? Not that this wouldn't be accepted in the year, you know, 1200 or whatever it is. Not even us. So they're pretty much just saying this is not representative of me, my religion, my region, my any. So it's all the people like
of
really.
History. It's not representative of history.
It's like, and it's like me going and reading this, you know, not finishing a book, the Alex Harrow's The Everlasting, because I was like, this feels like it's meant to be British-ish, even though it's not Great Britain, it's not the United Kingdom, it's Dominion, and it's using this, you know, Arthurian legend stuff, whatever, but it never felt like, I was like, this is what cultural appropriation feels like, where somebody misunderstands what it means to be from a place and to have this history of, you know, First World War, Second World War, before that colonialism, but, you know, having nation building stories about King Arthur and now Tolkien or whatever it's going to be and Mr. Bean or whatever these like national mythic legend status, and I'm including Mr. Bean in there like very specifically. I do think Mr. Bean is as probably important to British national identity as King Arthur at this point.
As cream eggs.
What's that?
As cream eggs.
No, not Cadbury's cream eggs. But you know what I mean? Like, if you're talking about, like there's, like, Shakespearean characters, yeah. and Mr. Bean is right
oh, yeah.
there, you know,
oh, yeah. as it's in kinds hugely of... hugely important.
It's hugely important for the nation.
And influential.
And so, either way, whatever I'm saying
yes.
here,
yes.
it felt like this, and this book is so far down that way,
yeah.
where even me, I started feeling offended on behalf of Muslim people and how badly this character is misrepresenting everything about their culture, their history, their views, or anything like that. And I feel like I'm like on the progressive side of, yes, women can be leaders, trans people are people yeah. too, you know, gay people less accept them. And I'm like on the side of this, but like then on behalf of like Muslim women, I'm like, oh, this is a bit like, this isn't great representation.
This could, and now I'm, of course... Of course, as always, I'm defending the book and the author. This could work if you would make a lot more sure that people understand that this is not our world.
The book does zero work in world building except by saying this is happening in the year 1200 yeah. in this town.
It's literally using...
Everything else you have to bring along.
It literally is using the town names.
Yeah, it's using real life places.
And then I'm thinking... yeah.
Don't overthink
yeah, okay.
it. It's just absolute garbage, tripe, shit. That's what this book is. That, like, there is nothing about this book which can be used. The only reason this gets a high rating is because somebody has already put out a successful fantasy story in this world.
How many people have rated this book?
Ah, well, here's the thing. Now you can see it. Look, 82,000 ratings here.
Okay.
And you can see 36,000 five stars, 32,000 four stars, 10,000 three stars. And now we get down to 1,897 two stars and about 500 one star ratings. So it drops off pretty quick
yeah.
here. But now check this out. You can go over and you can see the top shelves that it's on. So lots of people have it to read. Fantasy, you know, obviously. Everyone puts it there.
Yeah.
Currently reading, but now check this out. Did not finish. 1,086 people have put it on their did not finish.
Yeah, okay.
So now we can check it out. So 82,000 people. Oh, put it this way. More people didn't finish it than rated it one star. Of course,
yeah.
lots of people rated it one star and didn't finish it.
Yes.
But now we can see this. And if you look at this one, The Everlasting by Alex E. Harrow,
yeah.
here, way more people didn't finish it. 1,637 people didn't finish it,
mm-hmm.
which is more than gave it two stars.
Mm.
So there is actually a little way. There is actually a little bit of signal that you can get.
It is a little bit of a telling there.
Yeah, there's a bit of a signal here. So, yeah, and I put it on my did not finish read, and it's now, I wouldn't say one of the highest rated books that I did not finish, because, again, a lot of them are fourth books in a
yes.
fantasy series that
yes.
the only reason that people actually read it, and because they're already a fan of the world, they're a fan of the author, they read it and they're like, yes, more of the book that I had before.
Yes,
and
more of that. I like that.
More of
okay.
that. So,
yeah.
there you go. That's it.
Okay.
Probably one of... the worst books I've ever tried to read.
Oof.
In the 18 years of doing the Science Fiction Book Review podcast.
That is quite
purely
telling.
Based, and this is not based on the story, because I didn't get to it. Not based on the characters, because it doesn't matter. Not based on it's purely based on, this is meant to be set in the year 1200, but it's talking about financially stable, retired people who are doing, with their friends who do pharmaceutical training, temperature, you know, policemen, cops, politicians, sexuality, atrocities, money, all of the things which don't make sense to be in a Muslim city in 1200.
Mm.
And all of the things that I thought might be there to be like, oh, let's read a book which is fantasy, but isn't just, you know, generic medieval, late medieval fantasy something, something, something.
Yeah.
And there we go.
Okay.
None of what I was hoping to be there was there.
Right.
And everything that was there was just shit.
Okay, we don't need any more of those things.
Friends of Volings, B gave it four stars. Diva Diane gave it five stars. Margaret gave it four stars. Terp Christian rated it four stars.
These are
SFBRP.
SFBRP friends on Goodreads.
Yeah, so yeah, there's like 30, what does it say here? 36 people looked at it. But yeah, six people rated it five stars. And I would say mm-hmm. everybody else, if you enjoyed the previous books by this author in this world, go for it. It's probably more of the same and fine.
Yeah.
But for me coming in accidentally to the fourth book in a long-running series. They're like, it's a new fantasy series. And only when you get away, it's like part of the way, and you're like, wait a second, there's no world building happening. There's lots of assumptions about what book were. Yeah. Yeah, and the previous books are like set in like Egypt in around about the same time, in a similar way. So I was like, ah, yes, right.
Okay. After this podcast, I will look a bit more at this book because I think it is quite fascinating to read and see about all that.
I'm very sorry.
That's okay.
This was meant to be a short episode.
I know.
I was expecting this to be 12 to 15 minutes long. We've gone 35 minutes.
Totally fine. And it's still short.
Yeah, we're going to do another podcast. Let's talk about a good book. Should we do this?
Yes.
Let's wrap this up. Let's take a break, have a cup of tea, whatever, and let's come back in 20 minutes and we'll talk about Ian M. Banks' book, Ian M. Banks Inversions, which will be a much better book.
Completely different to this
episode. Spoilers, probably one of the best books that I've read in the last 18 years. So, yep, let's wrap it up there. Patreon.com/Luke Burridge, Blue Sky, something, something, Luke Burridge, JUKU Berlin
on
Mastodon.
Goodreads.
Yeah, and become my friend on Goodreads so I too can see which books that I think.
That you did not finish.
So I can see your did not finish list here as well. So thanks a lot for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.